Let's talk for a moment about faith and charity, all right? It does as well, especially right here before the Passover season, to kind of go back to basics occasionally and use nature itself, because it was nature itself that kind of prodded me to give this message today, and I'll explain that as we come to that specific part. You'll remember in the book of Romans, you don't have to turn there, I'm only going to quote one verse from there, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith, and you're all familiar with it, you could all quote it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I feel that we are so blessed that that's what we teach at Shepherd's Chapel, not our Word, but the Word of our Father, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But as always, as a teacher, I can't help but teach, even as we quote a little verse like that. Does faith come from the Word of God? No, it comes from hearing. That word in the Greek means a little more than just, I heard a noise, I heard a little sound there. It means to hear with understanding. And to hear with understanding does bring the faith from His promises, His beautiful, wonderful promise of the kingdom, and that you are going to be a citizen there if you have just a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith goes a long ways. And I know I teach there's no such thing as a little bit of faith. You either believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or you don't, right? But we're going to speak today rather than nationally so much, but personally, because Passover is kind of a personal time. It's that time that He personally paid the price for your sins, our sins. It's that time that when He sees your faith in operation, that it pleases Him, it makes His day, it makes Him happy. And by hearing His Word, there is nothing that you're going to come across as you walk your walk in this daily life that the Word of God does not have a word of comfort as well as your answer. How you get out of a situation, how you get out of a problem. And it is beautiful how that Christ in His teaching used analogies whereby you could see more into depth of His teaching. We're going to take a seed. He used a seed as analogy a great deal. I was in Clay County, Kentucky last month doing a documentary. And we were in an ancient cave, and here it was a place of worship. And here is the ancient Greek with the letters that mean Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, in ancient Greek. But right up above the mouth of this cave, it was the texture consisted, if you're familiar with geology a little bit, decomposed limestone. And you know how limestone kind of is in slabs. And here's a little old bitty twisted tree right up above the mouth of this cave. It has no depth. But to live, that seed grew a root that big around between the slabs and literally pushed the slabs apart. A little seed. So you see, that meant so much to me, to see the opening of the cave, and naturally there's no depth to the soil because there's no soil there, it's open air. And that little seed saw fit that if it went down a small crack, that it got to soil and got substance, and then in its growth, it literally pushed the earth apart. The power of that little seed. I wanted you to see that, and I want you to know how I thought, I've got to teach about this. got to share this because it has to do with us today. Well, let's just be here. We'll just go ahead and reminisce a little bit while we're here. There's no hurry. It wouldn't have been too many years back till a little congregation here in Northwest Arkansas of, I can remember when it was a lot less than 120, but about 120 when we began to expand into a tape ministry first and then into television. Didn't really seek it. An organization requested that we do a 30-minute-a-day teaching session because there weren't that many teachers on television. And from there, it exploded until soon we owned our own network. Now we're into 100 million homes plus considerably in this country, this hemisphere, I should say. And now to open Europe to us, and such, it was so easy. We've tried so hard on our own, but then God just opens a door, and there we are. So God's in control. He can perform miracles. And it is a miracle for a small little church in Northwest Arkansas, and though it's been in existence for many years, to appreciate that kind of growth in about 15 years. It's unheard of, but that's part of the miracle of the Holy Spirit. God pushing apart the mountains for us. God pushing apart legislation that goes against us. God controlling even courtrooms. I must share with you at the same time a trial that was held recently. And because I counseled the man and woman, I was subpoenaed to come into the child custody case. And the woman was being mimicked by her husband and the opposition lawyer that a dip in the creek cured her. I think they called it a dip in the ditch. You know, where psychiatrists couldn't do it. But a dip in the creek and a Christian psychologist, Christ healed her. Took away her depression. And they couldn't believe it. Do you mean to tell us? And, of course, the obvious was that court, that lawyer apologized to me publicly in trial for having made such a statement. That's something. But that's that faith, that little seed that will just move in and rip apart those things that oppose us. When you let God do it. So, where do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means you get your faith by understanding what God has to say to you. And then that faith causes you to trust Him, to follow Him, to plan your life around Him to that degree, that anything you need to build, I promise you, as long as you'll do the work, God will furnish the bricks. So many people worry about the bricks. The bricks are the least of the problems for God. He can provide whatever you want to build. If it's for His work, He'll supply the material, but you've got to do the building. It's that simple, even in your life. That's an analogy. I'm not speaking just because we have a new building and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your personal life, that He will provide for you the tools you need to follow Him and to be a blessing to people around you. And do you know something? The happiest one can be, truly, is when they can help those around them with a truth that lasts, that's eternal, that makes them feel better, gives them hope, for certainly in this world today, the outlook of much of the younger as well as the older generation is hopelessness. It's all going to fall apart anyway. Who cares? Do whatever you want to. Well, that's wrong. Because if they were hearing the Word of God, they would know that the things that are happening today were written of long ago, and they're happening exactly as they're written. So rather than be a depression, it should pick you up and let you know assuredly that our Father is in control. So I believe with all my heart, and this ministry is a living example of it, if Christ sees just a little bit of faith in you and knows you're sincere, that little bit of faith will move the earth in your life. It will move people in your life. But first you've got to hear, my friend. First you have to believe and know of a certainty that He is real. And He used these things of nature that you can go out, like to Clay County, Kentucky, and while you're looking at one of the most marvelous things, the tracing of our ancestors down through the ages, to see Iberian, ancient Hebrew, and ancient Greek all in one lonely mountainside. And yet, right above it, is a scrawny little plant, all alone. And it has literally lifted plates of limestone. And to me, it was like a witness. God's Word is true. What an analogy in nature. Right here over this great place, given to worship of our Father, that we would see the actual fruit of one of His parables. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Let's go into this just a little bit. We know that the true house of Israel will have no difficulty whatsoever in becoming a nation of nations as the people migrated over the Caucasus Mountains and later settled Europe and then this great nation, so on and so forth. But again, I want to teach this. Mountain usually symbolizes nation. But I want you to put this in your personal life today with Passover coming up. Naturally, we can change nations. We have found in 15 years of television ministry by just really teaching the Word of God that it's beginning to change a lot of things, even other ministries. And I thank God for that. It's not us, no. The Holy Spirit. Let's start with verse 19. Here he's leading up to the parable of that of a little seed, but I want to get the first part, that brought it up. Verse 19 of chapter 21, Matthew. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now you're all familiar with the parable of the fig tree, if you've studied with me any length of time, and you know what that bad fig symbolizes. It's not going to produce fruit. The good fig will, but not the bad. Don't count on it. Can one of the bad have an opportunity to have faith? Of course. And then that bad fig becomes a child of God. And God does forgive, be that as it may. But we see the stage set here. Verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away. I mean, he wilted its case just like that. And do you know something? The bad fig is going to wither away ultimately in time. Same way. 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith, here's that word again, if ye have faith and doubt not. Underline that in your mind, beloved. It's important. Doubt not. And don't ever be one of these that says, I'll pray to the Father, but I know He's not going to hear me. Don't do that. That's a disgrace to God, is to doubt Him before you even ask and don't think He doesn't know it. That's not faith. That's pretense. And doubt not. Ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, you're not only going to destroy the bad seed of Satan's folly, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. 22, and all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, if you ask in prayer, naturally you're asking for something to do God's work. He's going to give it to you, beloved. You have to do the work, but He will give it to you. If you're sincere and you have no doubt, and if you're qualified, if you're ready, if you're gifted from Him, it's going to happen. I believe that with all my heart. I have no doubt, not one little speck of doubt, that that's a true statement. But then it's easy to believe when you've seen what we have seen in Shepherd's Chapel for the last 15 years. It's just real easy to have faith when it's practiced by hearing the Word of God and by believing and knowing He's in control. Now, the thing I don't want you... Sure, we can say, and it's true, that this word mountain is symbolic of nation, and it means we're going to destroy the satanic one world new order that's coming into being. Hey, nothing to it. No step at all. Christ is going to do it. But it happens in your life. It applies to you as well. When some big boulder pops up in your path, that's trouble. I'm using that as an analogy for trouble. Oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I just don't know. If you have that little bitty seed of faith of a mustard seed, the smallest seed there is, Christ recognizes it. And He causes that seed of faith to grow. And soon that little bitty seed will take that huge boulder in your life that's troubling you and smash it. It's gone. He'll level it. He'll kick the big rocks out of the road for you if He sees that little bitty evidence of faith. Without, I repeat, without doubt. It's done, friend. It's guaranteed. Christ is not a religion. It's a reality. Let me tell you something. The teaching that He did, that you hear, is as small as that mustard seed. I'm a little uncomfortable saying this, but bear with me, compared to the ultimate kingdom. We have only seen just a little bitty opening into the wonder, marvelous life that we're going to live. And you're not even going to get a whiff of it, not even a little tiny taste. If in your life, if you don't take that little seed of faith and let Him do something with it, and boy, when you experience that, you feel the power of the Holy Spirit in your personal life, not only national, but in your little personal life. There can be someone that has aught against you. If you handle it God's way, it may be somebody you're working with, giving you a hassle, a real smart aleck all right, in your life. And if you just handle it God's way, snow them under with kindness one time, it just shocks them, you know. But whatever, but first, let that little seed of faith that said, God, you handle it. They're too tough for me. I give up on them. And then God will handle it. He can change them just like that. There's nothing to it. That little seed. I'll tell you what. It's spring. It's time to plant. I don't know how many of you grow gardens. But when you plant your beans, if the opposition isn't too heavy and you get a hailstorm and you live in a country where it just packs the old hard pan down where it breaks its little neck. But still, you watch it. It'll come through even if it breaks its neck. I'm talking about a bean. If you're not up on horticulture, perhaps this won't mean that much to you. But it's amazing sometimes, and even old hard pan. That's a soil that kind of acts like paste when it gets real wet, you know, and it gets a hard rain on it. And that bean will just push and push. And that little bean that you can just snap so easy, the little stem will literally force that hard pan up. And yeah, it may break its own neck trying to give life, but it'll come through many times. That's what God does in your life when He sees that little bit of faith. Without doubt, He will push things out of your life, and it'll become a pleasure. Every day's a good day in Him. When you reflect His teachings, for having understood them, and yes, Father, I understand. Don't ever be a doubter. I don't know how anyone could doubt God. When you see His prophecies that are coming to pass as they are, and when you see, or if you've ever felt that touch of His hand, the moment when you were in despair and He picked you up, that should remove doubt. Because He's real. And He, in creating all these things, created them whereby we could have substance, but yet at the same time, we can learn so much from nature itself. I'll tell you what, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to Psalms for a moment. Let's go to Psalm 65. Nothing will cheer you up like a psalm when we're questioning ourselves as, is it possible I could have a little doubt in myself? Well, your flesh will. I can guarantee you that. Your flesh, if you listen to it, will cause you to doubt a lot. It's so simple, and it's always going to if you let it. You can be hard-pressed to do a certain thing, to finish a certain thing, perhaps for the Father, and the tummy says, you can't do that, or you got to feed me. I'm getting so hungry, my low blood sugar's falling clear out the bottom, and I'll die if you don't feed me. Or some other thing. So don't ever worry about the flesh causing you to doubt a little bit. Push it down. Get into the Spirit. And let your real self do your thinking and your talking, your feeling, your touching for you. You won't get in near as much trouble. All right? Psalm 65. We're just going to cover the whole thing. It's a real short psalm, and it will say what I'm trying to say so adequately. Verse 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. This is to say that all people would praise Him, and every knee will bow on that first day of the millennium. Verse 2, O thou that hearest, did you hear it? Thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Better translated, all mankind, because when this comes to pass, there's not going to be flesh there, okay? iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. He can, beloved. He can get rid of them for you. Pretty tough for you to do it on your own. And we always seem to fall short. But if you've got that little bit of faith to trust Him, He'll kick it out of your life. He'll raise you up. He'll get rid of it for you. For blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. You cannot understand that verse if you have not read the book of Ezekiel with understanding that in the millennium temple, the only people that can come into the court of the Lord is God's elect, those that He chose before the foundations of this earth, and they dwell in that court. How beautiful that's going to be. Many might say, well, there's nothing special about me. Well, if you hear the Word of God, you're a very special person indeed. Because look around you in this world, most don't care. And talk about doubt. A bunch of doubting Thomases. Thomas was a super believer compared to most of the world today. Biblically illiterate, floating around persons. Know nothing of the Word of God and could care less. So if you're searching, and if you know that the false Messiah appears first and you're going to make that stand, you're special indeed, and you will be in that court. What a time that's going to be. They're called the Tzedak, which is a Hebrew word that means the upright, or the just, or the elect. You'll read of them in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, which takes place in the millennium age. That's what this particular place is talking about. My friends, words cannot put into your mind the beauty and the marvelous things that will transpire at that time, and you are a part of it. That's something to praise Him about. Verse 5. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence? Do you have confidence? That's called lack of doubt. It's called faith, my friend. Faith. Of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea. You are their trust. You are the one they put their faith in. What did he mean by terrible things in righteousness shall thou answer us? Shall thou defend us would be a better translation. He will defend you. He'll make it pretty hard on some that come against you if he sees that little seed of faith in you. Verse 6. Which by His strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. He controls the mountains. Now go back to the little, in your mind, to the little mustard seed, that if you have that much faith, you could move mountains, okay? Well, He can do it. Are you part of that family? Verse 7. Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. I just can't picture Him doing that. Well, Christ did it. The waves were roaring and the men thought they were going to drown, and Christ stepped forward and said, "Peace, be still." And it was. God creates, and He has a beautiful thing for you. A heavenly place right here on earth that we're going to enjoy. Not bad now when you have faith without doubt. But it's going to be a lot better. We just can't visualize it really in its fullness if you trust Him. Many times if you're not careful as a student of God, well, I see all these biblically illiterate people, and I am so far advanced to what they are as far as wisdom, happiness, good looks. You know, you really get to getting a little proud of yourself if you're not careful. Hey, I don't have to wait for God. I'm going to step in here and just start straightening some of these bad figs out myself. You're headed for trouble, my friend. God loves those who obey Him, which means by hearing His word, know what He wants done. But He'll tell you when. Well, how do I know when? When He puts the brick on you. Now, some of us, He sets the bricks out in front so that we can pick them up and lay them. But some of us, and you know very well, He has to hit us in the head with them, you know, to kind of get the attention going a little bit, get the adrenaline going, to get us back into His service, to realize He's the King, not us. We could do nothing without Him compared to what we can do with Him. Trust Him. To do what? What was that verse about? To defend you. To take care of you. And He was talking about today as well. He will do it. You can count on it. Verse 6. Which by His strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. 7. Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, the tumult of the people. 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at Thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. It is amazing. As long as the sun comes up, you've noticed we've just covered that in Jeremiah. It's His promise. Our covenant with Him is good. There is an old legend that the sun comes up so bright and happy, but after it looks at man's sin going over all day, that it sets in scarlet. In shame for having seen the sin. There's another story with that too. Another seed, the little red scarlet berry seed. That we could go on for another total lecture. We won't, but it just strikes my mind as I pass to see the miraculous nature of God and the power in the very rising and setting of His Son, the Son. Okay. Verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when Thou hast so provided for it. When? Sometimes isn't a when. So that's why you want to have the seed of faith. That little seed, without doubt. He does visit and He does water. Has that river of water, which is called the Spirit of God, ever touched? Does it run through your life, touch you? Does it feel at home there because the Holy Spirit dwells there already? That's part of faith. That's part of the education you receive. And it becomes de facto from having heard the Word of God. Do you know that He provides corn for you, or He can pluck it away? That's what it's talking about. And He's totally fair about it. He's kind of in control. 10. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Do you know what He's talking about here? I don't know how many of you have been around farming, but highland farmers are called dryland farmers. And sometimes the dryland farmer feels like he's kind of behind in everything because it just doesn't seem to get the moisture because it all runs to the bottom land. But God is fair to the ridge farmer as well, especially when you look forward to His kingdom. It will all be well. He'll water your life today if you let Him. I'm talking about financially as well as spiritually. If you do it His way, Wisdom comes from hearing the Word of God. And my friend, after you hear the Word of God and absorb it, it doesn't take a whole lot to outsmart wisdom of the world and beat them at their own financial games. You know, not a big step at all. If you have faith without doubt, because all wisdom comes from God. Okay? Verse 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. In other words, he brings forth lush pasture always for you if you will let him. That's what a pastor is about, is furnishing pasture or to feed the sheep. It's what it means. It's the etymology of the word. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. God takes care of the uninhabited as well as the habited, because He has creatures there, and He loves them. 13, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Do you trust in Him? That's what it's talking about. If you trust in Him, He will provide that for you. You don't have to wait. He would do it for your nation, but hey, you can strike out on that. Yes, we're blessed, but your personal life can be a lot more blessed than that, because you can totally follow Him. Yeah, we all fall short a little bit, but you know what I'm talking about. As long as you try, as long as He sees the evidence of a little bit, without doubt. It's beautiful. So simple. To be pleasing, to be found pleasing to the Father. But it takes faith. You've got to believe it, or it's a game. And you sure cannot con Him. He knows. So don't be a doubter and a faither all at the same time. It won't work. The two, it's like trying to get oil to mix with water. Won't mix. Can't play that game. And it just makes your life miserable. Quite frankly, you have good intentions and you set out with clean water, but through the day, some way, you come have to pass through the oil, and when you come out at night, you look a mess. Your mind is what I'm talking about in the world's times, if you're not careful. That's what your faith can look like also. And faith with doubt is no faith at all. Faith in itself expels evolution, anything that pertains to Satan, because faith lets you know that God spoke. His word is eternal. It was His Word that even created this earth. His Word. And you are a very privileged person that you have a little working knowledge in it. We do. And that makes you real special to Him. That's what He wants from you. What does that do? What does it do for Him? Well, it lets Him know that you care. It lets you know that it lets Him know you're thinking about Him. And that makes His day. It makes Him know. That's how He says, God says, old William was talking to me today. William rides a motorcycle. You'll see it parked out here. And anybody that rides a motorcycle talks to God a lot. But it makes God's day to hear from you. You see, He's more personal than you are. He really is. He knows more about you than you probably know about yourself, because He knows what you did even before the foundations of this earth. He knows a lot about you. But boy, He loves you. And there's that word love. Boy, He loves us. But love is not a one-way street. You'll never see love tagged as a one-way street. That's not true love. Love is a two-way street. To love someone is to receive love back in kind, and that's what God wants from you. If you would, we're going to close this out with that thought. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, back in the New Testament. We're going to go to chapter 13. Sometimes it's good to have a cake without frosting if it's hot coming out of the oven, and you can even butter that and get by pretty good, but the cake's better with the frosting on it. Let's do it, okay? Chapter 13, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that's to say love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you know what that means? Have you ever heard one of these little door chimes out in the wind just bing, 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 bing all day long? Bing, 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 bing. You're like that. It makes a pretty sound, but it's worthless. Well, I shouldn't say that to music clubbers, all right? I mean, it makes a nice sound, but you can be the same way if you're not careful. Love you, love you, love you, love you, everybody. Have a good day. Have a good day. It's a little deeper than that, okay? It's the real thing. Love with charity is to love and expect nothing in return, really. Just like that unfeigned love. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries with my hearing of the word, all right? And all knowledge, and though I have all faith, not a little mustard seed, but if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. What is the frosting on faith? It's love. You cannot, it's an impossibility to have faith from hearing God's word without having that love for Him, for your brothers and sisters. You don't have that love, you're nothing. Right away. You know what many people do with that then? They say, well, preacher, you sure don't practice what you preach, because I've heard you come down pretty hard on people, on even on television. Well, they deserve it. And do you know why I do it? I love them. They need it. If you have a boy out here that won't listen to you and he just runs in circles 24 hours a day and you're saying, son, pretty soon you're going to have to go over and kick him in the britches. Not literally, but you're going to get his attention to say, you need to know something here. And don't ever kick one of your children. That's just a figure of speech, all right? I've never kicked one of my children in my life, so don't take that literal, but it doesn't hurt to spank them. That's what I'm saying, if they need it. But that is love. It's called tough love. I received a letter this past Friday from a little old lady. She said, oh my word, she said, you have such a great opportunity to reach so many people if you could just be a little nicer. She said, a man of God doesn't act like you act. You should be a little sweeter. I wonder what she would have thought if she saw Christ. Do you know what he did right after he wilted that fig tree? He took a whip and went into the temple and, I mean, cleaned house. And good old sweet Ezra, priest and prophet. Do you know what he did to an old boy? He jerked half of his hair and beard out. Why? Because he loved him. It kept him from going to hell, so to speak. All right? So, love is a wonderful thing. It means you care about somebody enough that you're willing to put yourself on the line a little bit. Yeah, and it may be taken wrong at times. But don't be a nobody. Don't be afraid to show a little emotion. I know it's the current teaching. I'll never forget when I served on the city council here, and I apologize for digressing, and this is absolutely a digression in a way, perhaps. But, you know, the common thing, the college thing to do in this generation is never lose your temper. Well, righteous indignation is not temper, all right? Never pound the table. And I'll never forget one day down here, right down the street here, a block or two, I drew my fist back, I brought it over, and boom! Boy, I hit a table and I said, no! They look like Oklahoma crawdads, you know? Moving, that they go backwards, friends, if you don't know what an Oklahoma crawdad does. And what they were wanting to do was absolutely wrong to the senior citizens in this town. And sometimes you have to get people's attention, all right? And I don't mean that just to be mean. I'm certainly not a mean person. You can ask Anna. No, don't ask her. Ask one of my friends. But no, you can even ask her, all right? I mean, I'm good to even little cats, you know, and dogs. But I will be hard on people if they need it, all right? And I'll be hard on cats and dogs if they need it. I'll be harder on myself if I need it, all right? So, do you understand where I'm coming from? Love is an all-encircling thing. If you love somebody, it's loyal, it's true, it's the strongest force in the world. And it gets results, okay? But faith without it is worthless. You got what? The big N, nothing. Okay. Verse 3, and I thought to bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's your personal relationship with God, that you're communing with Him and you received your orders from Him, and you know you're pleasing Him. Charity suffereth long and is kind. That means it's got a lot of patience. Love does. Charity envieth not. Charity is, true love is never jealous. Now that's a tough one, because all of us have that little tinge of jealousy. Boy, that's a tough ticket, friend. I'm telling you, it is a hard thing to overcome. But don't give up on it. That's the main thing. Work at it. All right? Love vaunteth. It doesn't parade itself. Not itself. Is not puffed up. It doesn't put on airs. It's honest, straightforward, and people don't have to ask, are you for real? Are you honest? They can tell, okay? 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. Seeking not her own, that's to say her own rights, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. That's in other words, it doesn't get angry necessarily. It doesn't seek its own rights. Boy, well, now, wait a minute. Now, that's, Lord, you've gone too far here. Well, let me ask you something. You and your mate are really having problems. Why? Well, she wants to drive the good car Thursday, and you had to go to a real special meeting, and it would look a lot better, perhaps, if you're that type of person. I'm uncomfortable with my analogy, but I'm going to ride this horse, all right? I'm going to stay with it. Because I don't care what kind of car I'm in, quite frankly. But, beside the point, so, you're going to say, honey, I'm the one that brings the beans home, and I'm taking the good car because that's going to help us bring the beans in. Sorry. You're going to get your way, all right. But supper time's coming. Mm-hmm. Supper time's coming, and guess who's going to lose out? Won't be her, necessarily. And night time's coming, and tomorrow morning breakfast comes. Whoa, my egg's got a little burned this morning. The love that usually goes into this wasn't there. Do you see what kind of trouble you can get yourself in by insisting on taking the dumb new car? Isn't it a lot better? I mean, you say, darling, you go right ahead. you take that new car, your old boy can handle it, I'm taking this one, I mean, I want you happy. Woo! Supper time comes along and she's got you an extra dessert fixed. You know? And breakfast comes and how would you like your eggs this morning, dear? And I mean, you see, love pays off. Sometimes it doesn't pay to get your own way. You got it? It's so much better to have everything that you want rather than one thing that is important to somebody else. Give in occasionally. Doesn't hurt, all right? That's a very true thing, my friends. And that I shared with you is wisdom straight from the Father, all right, and experience. Okay, verse 6. Rejoice not in iniquity. Don't rejoice if somebody's getting a raw deal. Injustice, you might say. But rejoice in the truth. Always feel good when you know things were fair. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Hey, you can take it. So you got a bum rap, big deal. You're God's elect. You can cut it. Ain't no step for a stepper. And you can handle it. Charity, that's love, never faileth. Boy, that is a true statement. Never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. There's a reason for this. Hang on. Verse 9. For we know in part. In other words, our knowledge now is only in part. We don't have all the knowledge there is to have like God does. And we prophesy in part. We can only see part of the prophecy, not the whole thing. Only God can do that. You understand? That's where He's coming from. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Not done away, superseded is a better translation. In other words, God comes in and sets everything right and you see the whole picture. But always try. Because why? God loves you. That's why, beloved, and if you ever catch one thing from this lecture, catch this. Trusting God and loving Him, having that little bit of faith and loving Him, because you only have part of the picture, He knows exactly where you're going to, whatever, down the road. And He answers and gives to you what you need for the betterment of you. Why? Because He loves you. He's going to cause it to happen for you that is best for you because He sees the whole picture. That's why you must have faith in Him. And if you pray for a thing and that brick doesn't come, say, "Thank you, Lord. I know You know a better way. And I'm open and I'm studying and I'm listening." Do you understand? That's love, my friend. That's faith to know that He knows what is best for you, regardless of what you might want. He looks at the overall picture, and you can only see that little part. All right? So, trust Him, and you're never, never going to have faith without doubt if you don't understand that. That's why that you can't have faith without charity. You can't have faith without love, to love Him enough to know that Father knows what's best for us. And we wouldn't want it any other way, regardless of what we ask for. Do you understand? Trust Him, and you will always be a winner. Okay. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man or a woman, there's no gender here, I put away childish things. Adults in this generation can be bigger children than I think ever before in history. That could be argued with, but be that as it may. I've never seen people argue over such childish things. I've seen divorces over things that five-year-olds wouldn't bother to fuss over. It's terrible. Immature. So, grow up and know that God loves you and whatever He decides is best. And it's settled. All right? That doesn't mean stop thinking now. But keep reading and hearing. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. I have part knowledge, but then will I know even as also I am known. As God knows me, I'll know. You see, God knows you and He knows what's best for you, and that's what He gives you. If you love Him, if you have faith. You got to trust that. You got to believe it or you're not real. Okay? And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Your love for Him cuts more weight with Him than anything you can do. I want to repeat that. Your love for your Father, the closest relative you have, because He's your kinsman redeemer, your love for Him cuts more weight with Him than anything you could do. And then comes the other layers of the cake. Your faith, your prayer life. Reminds me of that old song when prayer is the key to the kingdom, but faith opens the door. You didn't know I could sing, did you? It's natural. No, I never had a lesson. But that's kind of the way it is, all right? It's faith that opens the door, but it's love that's the track it all runs on, beloved, to and fro, never a one-way street. So, the next time you are in a corner where it's got to be your way or no way at all, test God. I mean, be fair. I'm not saying be foolish. There are times that you have to do it your way if God has told you to. But I'm saying in public relations, all right, PR, give in once and see if God doesn't overly bless you. Next time you're in a problem, and there's a big old rock in your life, let Jesus see that little mustard seed of faith in you, and it will blossom and explode like a mushroom overnight and blow that thing out of your life. Sometimes He takes a little longer, but that's what faith is. Is your faith is your hotline to Him. Because with love being the foundation, that two-way channel is open 24 hours a day. He never leaves you, nor does He forsake you. Why does He want you stumbling over rocks? All right? He doesn't. So, faith and charity. I hope this kind of was a message that gets you prepared mentally and spiritually for Passover that's coming up very soon. And that, I assure you, it is simple, it's basic, but sometimes we get away from that. It's good to get back to it on a little deeper level, perhaps, and kind of take inventory of ourselves. And perhaps it'd be a great, great help. But most of all, what you do, do for real. Never be a fake, all right? Be real and practice by hearing the Word of God that will give you a life that I know you're going to enjoy. Father, we thank You for Your Word and we thank You for hearing Your Word with that understanding. We know that man only knows in part, Father, but we're going to keep seeking and studying and asking Your guidance and direction. And boy, do we love You, Father. You're so good to us. Be with us. We ask it in Yahshua's precious name. Amen. Amen.